Hello and welcome to Clear the Air with me, Jess.
And me, Kaylee. Let's Clear the Air with Jess and Kaylee will be available on all platforms where you listen to your podcast. The podcast is there to discuss all things personal, mindset, political, female, and a massive food sharing. So make sure to tune in to us every Tuesday. Thanks, guys.
We're ready. Bonjour, monsieur. You're not monsieur, but you know what I mean.
Good day, madam. I'm a madam.
You know what I love is that literally like 5 minutes ago, me and Jess were talking about how tired we were. Like literally, I look like death looking down the camera at Jess, and the minute we press record, I was like, "Hi!" Like I'm like some weird.
And
like,
I'm covered in fake tan in my pajamas, just laying here trying to get hope for the best. So that is our current reality.
Do you know all those TikToks that are like how I feel about myself without fake tan and then how I feel about myself with fake tan? Like I represent that TikTok.
Yeah.
Like
I'm with you. I can't bear being when I have like, I don't, because I found out recently I'm allergic to the sun. Did I tell you that already?
No.
So annoying. So like, I always wonder why I couldn't get a tan, but then I now get like mad rashes whenever I go in the sun, like even in England, like all of my chest, my arms, my legs, like it's horrible.
Oh my God.
So I've got to take antihistamines and stuff now, special things when I go in the sunshine, but I still won't change color because I have, my body reacts to the sun as if it's, we normally have like melanin or something in our skin that will change it to, so that you get a tan.
Yeah.
Well, my body thinks it's an illness that has to fight off so I get rashes. Yay.
Fake tan is the one. Fake tan.
And all that Italian jeans I'm supposed to have. Yeah, where do they go?
Just for curiosity, listeners might want to know, what fake tan do you use, Jessica?
I use Bondi Sands.
Do you?
This isn't an ad either. This isn't a thing. This is just the ones I use.
Do you find it's easy to remove or get stuck on the skin?
I can get patchy, but I get more patchy from a professional spray tan. When I put this on, I then wash it off, and then the next day I will use the Garnier Summer Body to gradually do it. And that, I mean, I can go really brown with that. It's really good.
Okay, then. You learn something new every day.
Expertise for the day.
Yeah. Do you want to tell everyone what our episode is going to be on today?
Okay, so this week we want to talk about self-belief. And I know it's something we've definitely touched on in, I think, obviously, I think a lot of the stuff we talk about all ends up coming back full circle because you know, the book I'm writing now is about the tools I've used. And every time I write a new chapter, they all link into each other. So I feel like while we do these episodes as well, when we do them, they are all going to link into each other. But it gives you the full picture of healing and what we use to do that. So, yes, self-belief, I think, is our topic for today.
It is indeed. And what is self-belief?
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you can have that false sense of self-belief where you don't really believe it, but you put on a front, you know, fake it till you make it kind of thing. But the fake it till you make it thing never worked for me because I didn't believe in myself. And when I tried to fake it, that means I would go out and buy a car I couldn't afford. It would mean that I would go into this to look a certain way, do my hair, get extensions, do this to look a type of way. And yeah, nothing really ever came from that apart from debt. So that wasn't great. But it wasn't until I started. So I don't like, I hate fake it till you make it. I actually hate that term.
Yeah.
Because I think work for it till you make it or learn it until you make
it.
Like learn until you make it. Because I think when we learn about things, trying to fake it till I make it meant I was going in head first on things I didn't have a frigging clue about.
I think fake it till you make it just basically says that you're faking something until people go, I love this fake thing that you're doing, and then you're just rich or you feel fulfilled from being a fake. I don't understand
or you get found out and you never make it because get found out, people start cottoning onto things that aren't legit.
And then you're bordering on fraud or you're bordering on lying.
Right.
You're bordering on, you know, false identity or products, whatever it is.
Yeah, and that brings us back to the whole social media thing because it's like, you know, you're faking this life when actually you're not that at all. Like I've just seen an article on the Daily Mail today about, and it was the real pictures of the Kardashian wedding, Kourtney Kardashian's wedding, and then the Instagram pictures. And it's like, they don't look the same. No one's saying you look bad, but you don't look the same. You don't, nobody looks like they've just walked out of a Hollywood film 24/7, and it's unfair to give that look. So it, like, again, fake it till you make it. You can fake what you want on the Instagram, but reality is still reality.
It's the same as the Met Gala photos. I don't know if you saw, like, they did them of the Kardashians at the Met Gala, and it was like their photos compared to then just photos that were taken on the red carpet. And it's just like, just, you don't need to bring in your waist by a little bit. You don't need to, like, clear your skin. Actually, for, like, people who are looking at themselves every day in a mirror, to see that and to see you being more representative of what you actually look like, we'd all be like, fair play, like, well done.
And I have no issue with chucking a filter over it. I do that. Oh, if I'm on a story, sometimes I've got no makeup and I'll put a, you know, put a filter over my face. Everyone can see very clearly it's a filter. But what I'm saying is when you're literally pulling your waist in, you're changing everything of you.
You're clearing,
like,
everything.
You're giving yourself a bum. No one's going to post pictures of themselves where they feel like they look like dog shit, unless that's your thing on Instagram where you're showing that. But to make it so, so very different, you're making people feel bad about themselves, especially when you have such a high following of people. It's that social responsibility thing, I think. But
Did you see that? There's like a massive thing about it at the moment. There's a girl called Lily. She basically like bought like a million followers. I'm trying to find what she was called. Lily Jean. Did you hear about Lily Jean?
No.
Oh my God, you have to watch videos on it. So she literally like bought like a million subscribers, built kind of like faking it completely. She'd like she like copy and pasted herself onto Katy Perry on the Met Gala, pretending like she'd got invited, and like put herself on the cover of Teen 17, even though it like gone out in 2017 and this was 2019, and like mental stuff. But genuinely, like, was she went into, in New York there was this thing where you could go and like create your own lipstick. She paid to create it and then pretended like it was something that people could go in and buy, like it was hers, like she like worked with the brand. Like, mental. And then she got found out, but she like still just says it's like people are bullshitting, she is like famous. But like, I think that is a perfect example of how her whole life and her whole kind of career or things is just bought and fake. And that's insane.
And that's an example of things will always come out if you don't do the work or the you know, at least learn in your craft. So the fake it till you make it, I prefer to say learn and work till you make it, because you will. And I think, I do believe if you have enough self-belief, for instance, my acting, that's all I've ever wanted to do since I was a tiny little girl. I think I came out of the womb wanting to do that. Writing scripts, writing books and acting, that's all I did, making up plays for kids in the pub when I was in there with my mum, and that's what I would do. But life events, which we've spoken about loads from my childhood and stuff, meant that I lost a lot of self-belief because I was in survival mode. And then after that, I dated people that were representatives of what I'd endured as a kid, so therefore my self-belief got knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. And it wasn't until I got divorced and I thought, no, I need to change my life, and I had that realization of my life needs to change, did I go to the core of what my problems were. Now, the core was I was the surface of trying to look a certain way, but deep down I wasn't believing that I was that person. I believed I'd effed my life up. I believed I was worthless. I believed I didn't deserve any of that. I hated myself. Let's be honest. That's the only way to describe it. I thought I was a worthless piece of shit. And that was what, deep down, how I felt about myself. And it wasn't until I worked on those issues, going back and doing like childhood trauma, you know, therapy and all of these different therapies and reading. Like I tell you, I read a lot because I need to understand my brain and why it feels the way it does. So that when I start working on those things with therapists or by myself, you know, with podcasts or books, I'm beginning to realize, actually, no, I am worth something and I am good at this. And when I didn't have my self-belief, I wasn't good at acting because I couldn't put myself into it because I'd be too scared that people think I'm shit. So therefore I'd automatically end up being shit. It wasn't until I thought, no, you're good at this. And I went back to school. By doing that, I'm learning my craft a bit more. I'm learning to understand my emotions. And then I can actually, strangely enough, draw them into my acting. When I got that self-belief, I started to be able to do things better. I started not worrying about, you know, the outside and what people thought. It was what I thought of me that really matters. And when I truly, now I truly believe in myself. There's things that I'm still working on. Sometimes I don't truly believe that I deserve to be loved, and that's still how I feel sometimes. And that's why I can make certain mistakes. That's why my head can go funny in relationships sometimes. But I know it's there, and I know that that's how I work on it. And it's the same when it comes to the career. Mm-hmm. I had to truly believe I was worth it and truly believe I could do it before anything actually started happening. And the minute I truly believed, I wasn't just telling myself I believed it, that's when things started to change around. Like for us, our new series Keep Calm Carry On, I got that with you, then Hammer Home, and then the BBC series. It was like the more I got that confidence in myself, the more things started to snowball. Because like I've said before, no one's going to tell me what I am anymore. I'm going to tell you what I am.
Without and a doubt,
believing yourself.
I think the challenge is life, what life throws at you, isn't it, a lot of the time. So I think you can get to a stage in your life as well where you do have a certain amount of self-belief, whether that's in the work you choose to do, whether that's in the relationships, the friendships you've decided to have around you. And then life can kick you with things, whether they're kind of, I don't know, medical or death in the family or something tragic, or you know, a job you loved suddenly is gone, or I don't know, there's all matter of things, isn't there? And then what I suppose what I'm trying to say is I think that self-belief isn't something that you'll figure out, there you are, till death do us part, bye-bye, I have that now. I think it's a constant evolution, and our self-belief and our worth is evaluated through whatever is important at that time. So I do think, you know, I was having this conversation with my mum actually, that like at the moment I'm building and working so hard on the production company and making my mark within an industry which I wanted to see change 10 years ago. But actually, maybe in 10 years time, I don't know if my self-belief will, like, I don't know if I'll need to be, I feel like there's a big part of me at the moment that needs validation in certain aspects. So like when I got Forbes, it just felt like a big tick for me. Like it felt like I've been validated for the production company for what I've done. Lovely. And I don't know if I, as I move past my 20s and I get into my 30s, that I want to step back from that kind of need for validation, slow down life, and actually build up my self-belief in terms of building a family, or in terms of building a life that doesn't need me running off my feet 24/7, constantly feeling like I'm having a nervous breakdown. Does that make sense?
And completely. And I think as well that, you know, life is never, the only thing that we can guarantee is change.
Yeah.
And it's when we try to resist that where our problems start, I think. So one guaranteed is change. And I think we flow with that, because my values of 20 years old are completely different to my values now. And that was something I was reading earlier in the book we were talking about before we came on, which is Everything is Fucked, a book about hope by Mark Manson. And it basically is just saying, you know, his friend in his 20s, she liked to go out, get pissed. Her values was in bullet points of best DJ, getting pissed, work, sleep. Then she went and had an experience of looking after some children in an orphanage in Africa, and her validation points, her values, were suddenly helping others, work, sleep, music. And then but you don't even regret missing out on what we in our 20s you might be thinking, my early 20s for sure, because my validation came from me going out looking at the part. That was where I was getting validated. But when I realized that means absolutely diddly squat to me, my personal values changed. So my things that I do for fun change. So I don't actually, you'd have to drag me out to go to a nightclub. It's like if you compared what that is now, it would be like dragging me to work 9 to 5 on in my 20s. That's how I'd feel about it. Whereas you know, you completely and utterly change your values. And as soon as your value system changes, what you do for fun changes. So you don't feel like you're missing out anymore. Yeah. And I found that really interesting, because every stage of our life is a different value set. We value different
things. Yeah, I think that's so interesting. So what would you say now, like, is your kind of value list? What would you say it is?
My values list definitely is very different to my 20s, but up there at the very top is feeling safe. I value loyalty and I value safety. So therefore, for me to receive that, I have to give that. So no matter what circumstances, I would want to give out my value of loyalty and safety to others, which can sometimes be a bit damaging, because I understand that I can't give everything to everyone. And I detriment myself, but that's another thing we work on. But also my career is one of my highest values. My family is my high, highest values. Like my disabled parents, they're high value. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, when I was in my 20s and mum was blind, she was a Hereford School for the Blind, so she was boarding there, so she stayed there, so I didn't need mm-hmm. to be around. So getting drunk was my value to disguise the fact that I was upset and inside completely damaged. So my core values are just family, my work, because I get something from that. My work, the acting, when it comes to my company, House of Influence, when it comes to I don't know what else, my writing, I would say that gives me a joy because I feel like I'm contributing something. And now my value is to contribute. I want to contribute something to this world to make other people who felt like I did in the past not to feel like that anymore.
Yeah.
And again, I have a big value in this podcast. To me, this is very valuable, not just because I want to, you know, help others that were in my situation, but it helps me because I'm talking about it. I'm feeling a purpose for something. And I think we all are looking for a purpose. And I think when your values align with your purpose, you can get through a lot more because you're living for a thing.
Yeah. Now. Yeah, absolutely. I would also like to take 5 minutes. Oh, I will answer that, but I'd like to pause. Yes. So whilst you have just described the book that you're reading, I thought I'd show you the book that I'm currently reading. Shows
love
very
it. Love
different.
Our book club.
No, because it doesn't show that at all, Jess. It shows what different. I think I definitely read for escapism, if that makes sense.
But so I do that too. It's great to do it.
I am reading The Cozy Christmas Chocolate Shop.
Oh, I love it. I do this. I switch from book to book. I was reading. Yeah. I love Jackie Collins. I love Jackie Collins books. Oh, they take me to another world. Love,
you know,
Jackie
not
Collins.
Not in any way like my mum, but like my mum adores Jackie Collins books. Like she
brilliant.
Says they're great. And you know, my best friend's actually going to kill me for reading this book because she loves Christmas songs all year round. And I get so angry with her and they skip Christmas songs and I'm reading a Christmas book. But hey, it is what it is. So yeah.
It is what it is.
The snow
it's
is falling.
Big. It might take to Christmas to read this. <It's very good>.
The snow is falling, the hot chocolate's warming and hearts are melting. So what more could you want, you know?
What more could you want? Yeah, but I think it's important, again, just quickly on that, to read books for escapism, because if I read Mindset all the time, I'd never have, and like, because I'm doing podcasts on our mind, from reading on our mind, I'd never have a break. We've got to give ourselves breaks. And I think reading is a great way to do that without the distraction of social media when you're on your phone for escapism.
Yeah, I'm really excited actually because I know that you've probably got a list as long as your arm, because I have done like an open degree for the last 6 years, which is just depressing. I decided you at 19 and now you're like 25 and based in like politics, philosophy and economics. So a lot of that was like textbooks and reading stuff like that. And so therefore when I read, I really wanted to read like rom-commy escapism books. So I'm excited now when I have more free time to read that I will actually want to like sink my claws into something that isn't just
I've got some great ones for you, don't worry, I saved them all up.
I'm very excited. But yeah, my value list, I think a home, I think building a safe space. I'm not a big welcomer into my home, and me and Kieran are very similar in this, that like we weren't kids who like invited everyone around. We didn't have parties, massive sleepovers, stuff like that. We always went to other people's. So I think to me, home is very much, except for my close family, is my real safe zone that's just entirely for like me and whoever's in that space. Family, I think we've had so much go on in the last few years in terms of, you know, needing to be there for family and understand the importance of having those people close, you know. So definitely my family. And I think career, career, I don't know, I think it's to some extent obsessive in some ways, but I think that's not to do necessarily with us, but to do with the industry we're in. It's not like a 9 to 5, like Kieran walks through the door at 5, he's done. Whereas to me, if I get an email at half time, I'm like, I'll just reply to that. So it's just I think it quite similar to you. And friendships, I'm valuing friendships, I think, more and more as I get older. I think that when you come out of school, you kind of done, aren't you? You're kind of like, right, there was all the yes, hellos, all that, like, you know, and then you have these friends. And I think you realize in your 20s that you need friendships. You need to know what's going on. Sometimes by having great friendships, you get to understand the world around you and what's going on and how it affects people.
Yeah.
By your friends, you know, so I think you learn a lot through friendship and your friends. So I feel like that's in the last probably couple of years has really gone up in what I value as well.
And that's the thing as well with change through life, that's still going to change for us. I'm 33 now. When I get to 40, I potentially will have a family.
Yeah. I might not, but if I do, my values are going to be very high. I'm keeping my family safe. And, you know, things will always fluctuate and change.
Yeah.
And
but you have to have that self-belief, whether it's as being a mum, whether it's of being a friend, mm-hmm. whether it's the self-belief that you're continuing your career, whether that you're going to get that pay rise you really wanted. Like, self-belief drives most or a lot of our decisions, because without that, if we didn't have self-belief, why would we get up in the mornings? And that's why we find that actually when we get into depressive states or a bit down, or we've had a kick in the teeth, or just generally life is a bitch, that's when you find that self-belief is lowered to a stage where you don't want to go out of bed, you don't see the point of food, you don't see the point of looking after yourself, putting on makeup and that. And that takes a real long time to build back up, because self-belief isn't an easy thing to build, but it's a very
I believe hope comes in. Hope comes in, because without hope on something better, why would we bother? So I always feel like we all have that self-belief, because we all, you know, when we're feeling down, we're like, tomorrow will be a better day. There's your hope, and you hold on to that hope and you carry on. And I think hope and self-belief are quite married together, because you've got to believe in yourself to an extent, but you also, you know, if things aren't going well, when them kicking the teeth do come along, you'll get that hope, keeps you pulling up for better. Like, for instance, I had a big meeting today in my company, House of Influence, and it was all the tech guys. We hadn't actually met yet, because we had started a lot of this during the lockdown. Mm. And we had our big company meeting, and I'm on the board. I'm partner of the company, and I'm the only woman in my company, so it was just me. I'm the youngest woman, the only woman, the youngest there. And I went in, and I'm with a guy, I don't understand tech, I never have done. And I know this is a tech company, but I kind of do the content side, that's my role. And there was, you know, it was challenging, because I'm having to put, you know, tech wants one thing, I want the other, because, you know, things are different from numbers, and then I'm looking at direction. So we're looking at things in different ways. But I had to, you know, I went to theatre school, I had zero self-belief, and then I was just a reality star, and that's all I believed I was for a long time. But I know that I built this up, and this is another thing about the self-belief. I built this, the whole thing I'm doing on this, I built from the ground up, I built the systems, I built everything alongside the people helping me and, you know, supporting all of that. And I learned that. And I know exactly what I'm doing in my company and exactly the direction that I want that to take. I couldn't have faked that meeting today. So I wouldn't have known what I was talking about. I'd have looked stupid. But because I believed in myself, because I knew what I was talking about. I had no problems. I got in that company meeting, I told them what I needed, they told me what they wanted, I told them that wasn't going to work. And they, you know, it was all so easy to do. If you'd reround me 10 years ago, not a hope in hell I'd have pulled a sickie and not gone in, because I couldn't have done that. And even when I started this company with my business partners and the CEO, and I came on as a partner, I was like, I remember getting the job and I was like, I'm not going to do this for long, because there's no chance I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a theatre guy, I don't know anything. And I really battered myself. I was like, I was almost going to pull out, because I thought, there's no chance I can do this. Like, this is someone, you need someone better for that. And I just gave myself time, and the lockdown helped, because I suddenly had this time to start building something. So I'm like, okay, well, let's try this. Learn a bit from my CEO, who's a very incredible man. And he taught me things, and I'll take that on, and I'll build my own thing around that. And I built this up. I can't not believe in myself now in this film, because I built this, and I never thought I could do that. But it was just them tiny, tiny little bits of self-belief where I doubted myself. I said, just give it a go. Because then I realized, what have I got to lose? And in fact, I've lost nothing. I've gained a whole heap of skills. I haven't been to school. I've gained these from working with people and learning from people that have, you know, just learned alongside me. And we built something. And it's about taking the leap sometimes. When you don't believe in yourself, take the leap, because you'll be surprised at what you can do. Like, I am shocked to this day that I managed to build the back system that I have done for this. I did not think I could have done it. And I'm surprised by many things I do, but it was because I had that hope of self-belief, that when I hold on to that hope, it validates your self-belief, which then gives you a bit more hope, and then you just build that little tiny Lego blocks building up. And I feel like that's important.
And it's incredible. Do you think that there's a slight difference between men and women on this front? Like, I don't know, I feel like it takes women, or there's a greater battle for women to achieve self-belief, whether that's in a workplace or in life, whereas men
self-belief sort of inbuilt. It's sort of like I've never turned around to Kieran and gone like, he's never turned around to me and gone, oh, I'm not sure I can do that though. Like, it's like, I will do it. I don't know if it's just
I don't know. I think there's two answers to that. I think because one, women have always been, you know, throughout history, you're the homemaker, women, you know, even to the woman driver, that kind of thing. We've always been told that. So we do have this patriarchy we're against, which we've been for years. But I do feel that's changing. But I don't know if it means that men don't have it. I mean,
I just think in the way we're built, I just feel like
more self-critical.
Yeah, I think I don't mean it. I'm not trying to say that men don't have it. I just mean as in generally how we're built and how our brain works. So like I've seen, for example, you know, my dad lose a job compared to like my mum lose a job, and it would make, you know, my mum would be down about that, whereas my dad would be like up looking on. And that's not a reflection of my mum. I just think I think sometimes when something happens to us, our emotions, we it's a bit like that, you know, when you've seen that graph before where women kind of deal with stuff and then over a long time they've dealt with it, whereas men kind of move on, but actually it's later in time that they then go back and actually have to go through that. So I feel like there's our self-belief can be knocked down quite a lot, and then we do a lot of work to keep it going up, whereas I feel like men are on quite an even keel, and it's not until something kind of drastic or big happens or something that they hadn't quite thought could happen, and then suddenly you know, I saw it with my dad when he went through something, and it took him a long time to recover from that, you know. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I just think
it completely makes sense. I just think a lot of it as well, I think, can be very individual based. Like Jermaine was starting his podcast and he was shitting himself, like he was, and I said, what's the worst that can happen? And because I've always had that thing of what's the worst that can happen. And sometimes that gets the better of me. I'll be like, oh, you're going to absolutely embarrass yourself. Get off this. I won't go. And also, I think it depends on what's going on in your life at the time as well. I think, you know, our emotions are never, ever linear, are they? Everything in our world is up, down, up, down, up, down. And, you know, if you caught me on a really good day and someone said to me, go and do a TED Talk right now, I'd be like, hell yeah. Like, cause I'm feeling good. But catch me on a day when and I get this still. I have days where I'm so like today I've been feeling, I got back from the meeting, I'm exhausted. So I was feeling a bit insecure when I got home about nothing, like stupid things. Even around Jermaine, I'm like, oh God, I'm feeling a bit down. I don't even know why. And if you said to me, I'll go and do a TEDx talk, I'd be like, absolutely fucking not. You know what I mean? I think there's so many different aspects to it. We've got to honour our feelings, go with the flow, and then see where it takes us. But at the same time, just learn to find that hope and that belief that if things aren't going well, there will be a better day. Or you know, if we believe in ourselves, we tend to want to work harder towards it or put more effort into it. And again, it all depends on where you are in life. You know, me at 20, I could have had listened to this podcast and it wouldn't have made a difference to me because my values just weren't aligning with my goal. Nothing was aligning. And I think until we can't ever force anyone to do it. And I think when you're listening to podcasts like this, you're kind of on that path already. So that's why it will help. But a lot of the time no one can help anyone if they're not willing to go there. And I wasn't at 20, I wasn't willing to go there. So you could have told me I could have been given the golden ticket advice and I'd have made it to Hollywood in a day and been Angelina Jolie. I wouldn't have taken it because I wouldn't have listened to the advice. You know, it's just, you've got to be in a place in your life where you're open to change and you can see perspectives differently. It's very easy to get caught in a perspective, especially if you've had some sort of childhood trauma or something. You're in survival mode. You don't want to hear the outside because this has worked for you and this is how it's going to go. But sadly, what works for you in your kid life in survival is going to destroy you in your adult. And you've got to learn to flow. And I think that's been the main takeaway for me throughout life, is to learn to flow rather than try to control.
Yeah,
when I flow with things tend to work out. When I try and resist, nothing really does.
Live into what, you know, the present. I know people speak about it so much, and difficult, I know how difficult it is. I know how difficult it is, but to try and be in the present so much, like we do. I mean, I can be like walking my dog and thinking like, oh, so next week, and I'm like, I'm on a fucking like dog walk. Like, this is half an hour to myself. Just take it, look around you, like see what's going on. And it's so difficult because we're caught up in the constant like, what's going on, what am I doing here, what am I doing there. But to live in the present so much allows you to have that self-belief and to look back and see what you've achieved to then help you to move forward and have that hope, like you referenced. So
yeah. And I think, you know, that is the key here, is to take away, is that you do have to, your brain is like a muscle you have to train. I had to train to stop my overthinking. And to this day, I do all this work, but I'll sit in the bath if something's on my mind. Fuck, it's hard for me to get that off, and I will have to do every tool in the book. If, you know, if I know I'm being irrational about something and I'm overthinking, I can go into it, I can spiral very quickly, but I have to learn to stop myself, and it takes practice. It's not something you just do overnight. You just think, I'm gonna turn my thoughts off now. If you've been doing something for so long, it's the same. If I was building my muscles in my arms for years, I'm gonna have some big ass muscles on my arms, you know, because they're used to that pattern. If I'm doing that to my mind and I'm constantly training it, you know, if I catch thoughts sometimes, I'm like, stop that now. Let's think of something that makes you happy. And I have to redirect my thoughts. And eventually it does become part of your life, but it's taken me years to do it. And I still can go off piece sometimes.
I'm bad at the moment. We've got a lot going on at the moment in terms of edits and in terms of dealing with people. And I've had it a lot recently where I've had emails come through, and at times in which I'm not working, you know, technically, and that's it, and I'm up like a bolt, and I've read the email within a minute, and that's it for me. Kieran talking to me, I'm not listening, I'm figuring out how I want to respond, and my mind won't shut down. So I can go away, I can be like driving somewhere, I'm just thinking about that response, but it continues for me. So like, I'll write out the response, I'll send it, then I'll keep looking back at it to like so when I get like anxious about it, or when I creeps up in my mind again, and I go or I can go back to it and go, no, I agree with all this. It's such an odd, it's an odd one.
It is. And one thing I learned, I know we're wrapping up soon, but one thing I did learn throughout life is that you can't run away from anything. What's in your head, you can never run away from. And I've tried it. I've tried running my whole damn life. At 17, went to Australia on my own for 3 months. Not a very sensible thing to do, because I was down, depressed with all the shit that gone on at home. God,
bless you. That's mad.
I know. And then, you know, when I left my ex-husband, I flew off to LA and I just stayed over there. I was running from things, but it always catches up with you. You could be in paradise, but if you haven't dealt with the inner, it's always going to catch up with you. There's no way you can run from yourself. And then, unfortunately, the person you have to like the most is yourself, because it's the only person that's going to be with you for your whole damn life, the only one. So you best get on with that person.
And you have to deal with the mistakes you make. I mean, no one's perfect. There's decisions you'll make, and there's things you'll do in life that you don't even, that you would be speaking about someone else and go, that's not right, or actually I don't agree with that. And you have to sit back, accept what you did, understand the circumstances of which that was under, and then it all comes down to exactly what we're talking about. It's full circle. It's have that self-belief that you've grown, that you've evolved, you know the reasoning behind that mistake, and having that belief in yourself to move forwards. And
that all comes with self-evaluation. When you can sit and evaluate the things you've done. Okay, fucked up here, hold my hands up. I'm gonna forgive myself, because that's the first step, and then believe that you won't do that again. We're all gonna do something to fuck something up.
It's
inevitable.
We said it in last week's episode. Like I said, that Mindy Carlin said that I learned in my life, like in career wise and just general life, you're always gonna, people will hate you and people won't like you, and you'll make mistakes. That's just, you're never gonna please everybody as you walk along the world.
But it is. And I think, you know, we just have to go with it and honor our feelings, honor our emotions, not suppress things, because, you know, and if just figure, it's just figuring out life, and it's hard, it's fucking hard, but you know, the beauty comes out at the end when you can be like, you accept who you are and you don't go around hurting people. You get a nice life,
without a doubt.
You don't hurt yourself as well.
Preach it. We're so tired.
Preach it. We are.
Oh, do you know what though? I just feel so much better. Like, than if I just spent 40 minutes just like laid in bed, like, I need to sleep. Like, you still feel like, I don't know, you just achieve something. Like, I love doing this podcast. I love everyone who listens. Thank you for listening. And
We appreciate it very much. And we hope you take stuff away from it every week. And I know I do. I think sometimes voicing things that have been even a bit playing on our mind, or just voicing anything, I think that's always a help. And even when I listen to other people's podcasts, listening to them voice things, you have your little aha moments, and it helps.
And I think, like, you might find when you're listening to this that our opinions evolve, and that actually when we're dealing with situations in our lives and we come on here and we talk, and not just that, like, we are gonna have guests on each month, and like, we will learn more from their knowledge and from their experiences, and you might find that our opinions evolve and change as we do. And I think that's so special with a podcast. Even when I've listened to people's podcasts and I can see a real change in them throughout or how they've manifested in their life, I think it's really exciting. Yeah
it's lovely.
What a pleasure.
Well, that's that for this week.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you next week. There's our brilliant ending, as per usual.
Bye.
Thanks to all our listeners, and we will see you next week.
We'd like to say a special thank you to Audio Boom for distributing the series, and Popple for our jingle and raspberry.